Alrighty. I heard that y'all got a chance to read the 91st Psalm.
Yes, sir.
In the Passion Bible, the Passion Translation. That was powerful. I was going to recommend that y'all do that. That's, matter of fact, that's part of what I'm dealing with tonight. I want to show you tonight, when you begin to put all the aspects of the soul together, when you put all the aspects of the soul together, how when you properly use it and put it together, how powerful the soul can be. And the book does an excellent job in doing that and goes through each one of them. And we'll take our time tonight to do that because I want to start off talking about David, then we'll end up using one of his psalms to explain how powerful the soul can be and what the purpose of the word of God can do to ours, what God can do to our soul, his word can do to our soul. In Samuel, the 17th chapter, turn there for me. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. You're going to see David using all the aspects of the soul properly. Look at verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood before him, saying, "What shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That is David properly using his emotions. He became angry. Angry why? Because somebody who dared to come against what God has said. All right? So remember now, the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." All right? So we see David here properly using his emotion. He was upset that anyone would dare to intimidate God's own people. Look at verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." This is David making a decision. That's the will. I will. Don't nobody worry about it. I am going to fight this Philistine. You see David properly using emotion, David properly using his will. All right. This, I wanted to give you an example because all the year we've been talking about the different aspects of the soul. And now we can see David putting all of it together and seeing what it accomplished. Go to verse 33 now. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and he a man of war from his youth." Listen to verse 34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God." There you see David using his memory. Memory. What memory? He remembered that God was with him when the bear and the lion came to get the lamb. He went and got him. He said, "When the lion turned around, I grabbed him by his beard and slew him." That's a feat. Bare hands. That's his memory. He was able to remember what he had done. Go with me to verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. That's David using his intellect. David knew that it was not intelligent to go to war with weapons he had never used before. David using his intellect. Go with me to verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, his disdain for him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. That is David using his imagination and talking to the Philistine. Now watch how powerful that is. David used his emotions. Remember now, your emotions gives you energy to act. Your emotions gives you energy. It fuels your actions. So David had what's called a holy indignation. That's his emotions. Then he made a decision. Nobody need to worry. I'm going to take care of this Philistine. Then he used his memory to remind himself of what God had used him to do in the past. Then he was able to use his intelligence to realize, I can't go out here with unproven weapons. You see that? Then he used his imagination to call out what was going to happen to Goliath. And we all know what happened after that. He picked up five smooth stones. This is talking about when you allow God to use your soul. Yes, sir. Miracles take place when you effectively let God use all five aspects of your soul. All right? He was able to pick up five smooth stones, sling them, and kill a giant. Now, we know the stones didn't do it. We know it was God behind those stones that did it. But he used his imagination. He used his intellect, he used his emotion, he used his memory, and he used his will. Every time you put all five of those together, properly used, miracles happen every time. Turn with me to Psalms 91. Now we are in a perfect time. Hope you're listening to that, Benedict. We're in a perfect time for you to properly use your soul. Properly use your soul. Well, in fact, go to Romans 12 first. Romans 12. Romans 12 and 2. Fair for me, because we've gone to scripture a bunch of times in here. But this scripture is going to really see it in a different light in a few moments. Verse 2, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. All right? By the renewing of your mind. So if I don't renew my mind, I'm going to be conformed. What that simply means is whatever the world system is saying and doing, I will conform to their way of thinking. And I will begin to behave like them and begin to move like them. When I don't allow my mind to be transformed by what? The renewing of my mind, by the word of God. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So we're in an opportune time right now. We can either conform or transform. Remember now, everything was against David. Everybody else was afraid. But David properly used his emotion, properly used his intellect, properly used his memory, properly used his will, properly used all of it so that he can make the right decision and get the right outcome.
Okay.
We're at the same point. Either we're going to conform. There's a difference between being conformed and being informed. You could be informed and not be conformed.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
You can get information, but don't let the information affect you.
Right, right.
I hope you.
That's good.
I hope you listen to me. You can get the information, but don't let the information conform you. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm being transformed. Because I take the information. I take the information. 2 Corinthians. Watch this. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I love the word of God. And then when in moments like these, this we get to practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get to put in practice what we've been. We get to put in. This is what faith is about.
This is what
right now is what faith is about. Watch this. Look in 2 Corinthians 10th chapter. And the 5th verse, cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the
knowledge
of God, and bring in the captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So this is where you take information, but don't let it conform you. See, you take information. And if it tries to exalt itself against what God is saying, you bring it under subjection. You handcuff it.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, I can't handcuff it if I don't have no handcuffs. Psalms 91 is the handcuff.
That's good.
Psalms 91 is the handcuff that handcuffs any information that we get in this system that tries to make us conform.
Yeah.
The handcuffs allow us to stop that thought in its tracks so that we can be transformed. Now, why are we being transformed? Why does the renewing of a mind allow us to be transformed? What does that do? Go back to Romans, the 12th chapter. What does that do? See, this is why I'm sure Reverend Thompson told you to read Naam Sardis 1 on a daily basis. Read on a daily basis. Read another translation. Because what this is doing is giving you handcuffs.
Yes, sir.
It's giving you handcuffs to cuff any thought that tried to exalt itself against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
All right? It's giving you handcuffs that when the system says this, God says this, I can tell you what God say and handcuff what they say.
Yes, sir.
Is this making sense?
Yes, it is.
All right, so watch this. Go back to Romans 12th chapter. Watch what it says. Romans 12th chapter. And be not conformed to this world. Conformed to the world has to do with our soul. What the thought process. What they're saying that is affecting how we behave. Mm-hmm. All right. But be ye transformed. I'm supposed to be acting some way, a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to have another mindset. Now, why should I have this other mindset? So that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've heard this class. Another word for prove is to recognize. All right. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a what? A sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Now, why does a sound mind, God, it would seem like God would he didn't give a spirit of fear. He gave us love, power, and the Holy Spirit. That ain't what he said. He said power, love, and a sound mind. Why? If you don't have a sound mind, what it means to have a sound mind? A clear thinking mind.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
If you don't have a clear thinking mind, what fear does? Fear causes you not to think straight. Fear does not allow you to process information correctly. Fear causes you to make irrational decisions. Too many things in. So what does Psalm 91 do? Psalm 91 gives you a sound mind.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 91 gives you a sound, especially in times like these.
Yes, sir.
It gives you a sound mind. It gives you a mind. It gives you a mind that reminding you this is what God says.
Yes, sir.
This is what the world system says, but this is what God is saying. It handcuffs everything the world system is saying. So I can, watch this, so I can unhandcuff, what I mean to unhandcuff? I can recognize what is instructions from God and what is not. I can't do that without a sound mind.
Right.
When I'm in panic mode,
yep.
When I'm in fear, I'm going to conform.
Yep.
Case in point, all the Israelites, when they saw Goliath, when they saw Goliath, they conformed to the image that Goliath was portraying. We can't beat him. He is a giant. He is going to overpower us. So what caused David to have a different mindset? He was able to have a sound mind. So he was able to properly use his intellect, properly use his emotions, his memory, his will. Are y'all seeing this? And imagination. The word of God gives us the handcuffs so that we won't conform. We'll be transformed. We may do some of the same things, but we ain't doing all the same things. You know, we may be washing our hands, but I'm not washing my hands as that's my only source of hope. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. See, if you do not allow the word of God to be hid in your soul, so that when other things come into your soul, the word of God is there to handcuff it.
That's good.
Anything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, I'm casting it down. Every thought that tries to come against what God is saying, I'm bringing it into the obedience of Christ. That's simply saying you're handcuffing it. And it will not be unhandcuffed until I determine if God wants me to do this or not.
Yes,
but you can't do that if you don't have a sound mind. And what Satan does the most, he wants to create fear. The way you eliminate fear is to stay in the present moment.
Yeah.
Don't start worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't worry about what's going to be happening tomorrow. You know why? Because God is taking care of tomorrow. Because he's giving me instructions on what to do today so that my tomorrow can be better. So I wasn't designed to be in the future. I'm only designed to be in this present moment. So by being in this present moment, I take the word of God to create myself a sound mind. I renew my mind so that I can, in other words, I'm calming myself down so I can be able to recognize the voice of God. I can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I can recognize the voice of God. Meaning, I handcuff everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God so that I can analyze it. God, is that you? Is that not you? But I can't do it without a sound mind. Because if I don't have a sound mind, I'm going to have fear. Your mind is going to be one or the other. Either it's going to be sound or it's going to have fear. See, some people try to ignore it. This ain't nothing to ignore. Act like ain't nothing happening. This ain't nothing to ignore. It's just I recognize it, but I'm not in fear. I'm not in fear because I have Psalms 91. When he says no disease shall come nigh me. When he's giving his angels charge over me. He's covering me with his wings. His strong tower. Powerful. God is saying all these things in the 91st Psalm. So when you read the 91st Psalm, it's giving you a sound mind. When you read Isaiah 40, I think it's 46 and 10. At 46 and 10, fear not, for I'm with thee. I'm thy God. He said, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness, with my right hand of my righteousness. See, I'll give you strength. See, when you read those, what you're doing, when you read those and you begin to meditate those, you begin to transform how you're thinking. So it doesn't matter so you can clearly hear instructions. Because watch this. I promise you that by the time David, this is powerful now, by the time David, he reminded himself of what God had done. He was angry. Motivated because somebody's coming against God's people. He had his intellect. I can't use these weapons. You seeing this? By the time he put all five of them together, God, he had a sound mind. So God was able to give him instructions to pick up them five smooth stones. Gave him instructions. He was able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, when we do not renew our minds with the word of God, we're going to conform. You have churches that are conforming. You have churches that are conforming to the world. You have churches that are conforming to what the world system wants to do. Do we not have a God?
Yes.
Either we have one or we don't. See, and here's the craziest thing about it. This ain't gonna be the last time. So if Satan can shake you up with this, you see, then you might well turn in your credentials. Because this ain't, God talks about this. As we go further along, things are going to get a little crazier. So if you're not in the practice of controlling your emotions, that's what a sound mind means. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Do you know what that really means? God has given us his word. So that we can consume it and produce all those things. You see, God give us his word so that we can, God's word flowing through us, processed through us, gives us, watch this, gives us the ability to produce love, gives us the ability to produce power, gives us the ability to have a sound mind. See, his word churning in us produces all those things. Here's one of the most misunderstood things about being a Christian. When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the law. So that means the law was no longer needed to put us, to redeem us. Because remember in the Old Testament, the law was used for redemption. They had to follow the law. When they didn't follow the law, they had to offer them bulls and goats, the priest did, in order to get redemption, to get atonement, as they called it, to get atonement. When Jesus died on the cross, that was the last time that that type of sacrifice was needed, because Matthew 5 and 17, he said, I didn't come to replace the law. I came to fulfill it. Right? Jesus fulfilling the law is not the same thing as him working the law. Okay. See, we have to work the law. We don't have to fulfill the law. Yes. I want you to grab this. Yeah. We don't have to fulfill the law. We have to work it. Now, our working it is not for redemptive purposes. Our working the law is to accomplish what God wants us to do in the present moment. In the Old Testament, they had to work the law to fulfill. They had to work the law to try to fulfill it, because they were working the law in the Old Testament to get redemption. Right? Right. Remember now, Jesus say, "Watch, read it. Watch. Because I'm saying something with he didn't. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There's something that we have to do." See, one of the most misunderstood things about Christians is that Jesus paid it all. Yeah, Jesus paid it all, but he didn't do it all. Right. He paid it all, but he didn't do it all. If he did it all, why would he say greater works?
Right.
Why would Paul come back and say Philippians 2:13, work out your own
salvation?
Watch this, Matthew 5. He said, verse 17, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Other words, Jesus said, I'm not eliminating the law. I'm just fulfilling it so that you don't have to try to fulfill it for your soul salvation, for your redemptive. I'm doing the redemptive part, but you're going to have to put the work in.
Right, right.
you see that now? So other words, I am going to have to live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to live by God's instructions. There's some things I'm going to have to do. Now, I'm doing these things not for redemptive purposes. Jesus took care of that. I'm doing it because I want to bring God's kingdom into the present moment. Is that making sense? So when he says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, that means we have to take his word, churn it in our soul, so that we can produce the sound mind that will produce the love and produce the power. Is that making sense? So you look at the hall, you look at Hebrews 11, we call it the hall of faith. You see where all those guys and gals had to do something. See, they did something. What they did, their purpose for doing it is different than our purpose for doing it. Their purpose for redemption, for atonement. Our purpose is to establish the kingdom. Because Jesus did what? He fulfilled the law. Jesus came down here and fulfilled all 693 laws. Met with Satan in the wilderness and passed the test that Adam and Eve failed. So now Jesus was prepared to go to the cross. So all he did was show us how to live, and Jesus showed us how to work the law. When he died, he fulfilled it. So when we follow the voice of God, it's not for fulfillment of redemption. It's to bring the kingdom into the earth realm. Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
So when he said he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, that means he's given us an opportunity. Mm-hmm. We got to embrace the opportunity. We got to take the word of God. We have to churn the word of God. We have to meditate day and night, so that we can observe to do all,
yes, sir,
that is written therein. That's work. See, I'm not working to be saved,
right,
but I am working to help establish the kingdom.
I'm
not working to be born again, but I am doing my part and working to fulfill the kingdom of God in the earth realm. See, there's the difference. So here it is with the word of God. We take the word of God, we churn it. We take the word of God and we meditate. We get instructions. We follow his instructions. What this does is we're helping to establish his kingdom. So right now, at this very moment, we have a unique opportunity to establish his kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
How are we establishing his kingdom? By how we behave.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
By not conforming.
Yep.
By being transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. Why? So we can recognize how to strategically move in these what others call fearful or troubling times. For us, this is us moving through the minefields, knowing where every mine at.
Yeah, yeah. React better.
Yeah.
You're able to maneuver better because you have a sound mind.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I give you an example. I still to this day don't really understand how I was able to easily, as I did, as my family, my wife and my two daughters, easily process the passing of my son. I look back on it, and I told Chantel, I said, I don't understand how people deal with death outside of the Word of God.
Yes, yes.
I don't understand that.
Yes.
Because that would drive you insane.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the Word of God and you're able to hear the voice of God, you have a sound mind, then you're able to navigate knowing where every landmine is and knowing where every booby trap.
That's good.
Even, watch this, according to the 91st Psalm, even if I go into a trap, God is there to help me navigate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's the Word of God. Word of God having a sound mind. A sound mind allows me to walk in power and walk in love. See, without that sound mind, the spirit of fear is going to be there. So if I don't have a sound mind, the spirit of fear shows up, I'm not going to walk in power. I'm not going to walk in love. Other words, simply saying when they walk in love, I'm not going to walk in obedience.
Right.
If I don't walk in obedience, I ain't going to walk in power. I can't walk in power. I can't walk in obedience. And I can't walk in power if I don't have a sound mind. David walked into that chaotic situation. He walked that chaotic situation transformed. He was thinking a different way. He was believing a different way. So therefore, he was able to act a different way. We cannot act like the world system. We have to act as God telling us to behave. According to the 91st Psalm, he said, disease, people will die on your left hand, down the right hand, but the disease will not come. That's what God says. Now, you can be a Christian that don't tuck that in your spirit. You can be a Christian that don't meditate on that. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to come right to your doorstep.
Yes,
and guess who's going to bring it? Satan. And guess who's going to accept it? You, because you're drawing it. Because you're in fear. You already said it. You determined it. But when you have a sound mind, and watch this, it's your choice. Because 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 tells us exactly what to do. Every time you hear some information that don't line up with what God has said, you got to handcuff it. So this is why I'm able to listen at information and don't let it conform me. I'm not going to behave based on what everybody else is saying. I'm going to behave based on what God is saying. Now here's where you get the super spiritual person from. Well, I'm super spiritual. No, I ain't say you go around not washing your hands.
Right.
You're supposed to be doing that anyway.
Looking for
it. You're supposed to be doing that anyway. You're supposed to be doing it anyway. You're supposed to be doing it anyway. But when you go to behaving like the world system in fear, it's different when you washing your hands with the 91st Psalm on your heart.
Amen.
Then you washing your hand because you're scared. You see the difference?
Yes.
There's a difference when you wash your hands with a 91st Psalm on your hands rather than washing your hands and you in fear. You have the spirit of fear.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference. And so the Word of God, remember now, the Word of God, 91, I'm closing 91, 91st Psalm gives you a sound mind. Once Psalms 91 gives you a sound mind, that's the renewing of your mind. Now the renewing of your mind is for one purpose and one purpose only. So you can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you can recognize God's voice. So you can recognize instructions. You can recognize when God says, okay, do this. Okay, don't do this. Okay, I want you to do this. Okay, don't do this. It's okay to do this. No, you don't need to do this. Because now you're not moving about in fear. You're moving about with a sound mind. Now, mind you, everybody around you probably going to be in fear. Everybody going to be in fear. I was at a ball game this past weekend, and they had just started. My daughter plays fast pitch. They had just started with the 250 rule, right? So they was letting some parents in. Other parents had to wait till they come in. And so I was walking with this guy, and another guy over there, he coughed. The other guy jumped.
Everybody doing it.
In fear.
Yes, sir.
In fear. Now, people been coughing all before. What's the difference? Those who have a sound mind that come from the renewing of their mind, as compared to somebody who don't have a God, who don't have no promise, who don't have no covenant. Listen, we have a covenant.
Yes, sir.
So now, so we have to protect our intellect. We have to protect our memory. Have you ever been healed? I know I have. We have to protect our emotions, our will, and our imagination. Every time you make all five of those work together, miracles take place in your life. So again, every day, you take the 91st Psalm. I like the King James, I like the Message version, I like the Passion. I haven't read it in the Amplified, but read it. Read it, because what it does, it will give you a sound mind. See, it's human nature that without the word of God to get in fear. That's human nature. That's how humans work. If you don't have the word of God, you will conform. And the way the world operates, the world is motivated by fear. God is motivated, moves us by love. Notice what Satan did to Adam and Eve. Other words, Adam and Eve ate the fruit because they scared God was holding something back from them.
Yeah.
Fear. Mm-hmm. So they ate the fruit, so I don't want him holding it back from me. When he actually was trying to protect them and prepare them. The world system, remember this, the world system is always motivated by fear. God motivates by love. I'll see y'all next week.